You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. Maybe you're getting ready to launch a new company or spending the weekends working on your passion project. Well, these days, having a web presence is everything, and Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a unique website. Showcase your work, blog or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. You can customize everything from look and feel to settings and products using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. And there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code KICK to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com and offer code KICK. And now, enjoy the podcast. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis. Welcome to Kick-Ass News. The Alchemist, The Secret, The Year of Yes, The Power of Now, Awaken the Giant Within, The Happiness Project. Next time you're in a bookstore, if those still even exist, wander down the self-improvement aisle and count the number of nonsensical feel-good titles that have absolutely no meaning whatsoever. Not just books, but tapes, seminars, and yes, more than a few podcasts make up America's $11 billion self-help industry. P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute, and in the U.S., there's no shortage of people willing to shell out big bucks for a little positive affirmation. It's a weird paradox that the more society progresses and we find ourselves less concerned with real problems like war, famine, and disease, the more we seem to need a well-paid stranger to tell us how very, very, very special we are and how we can accomplish anything we want. But what if we're actually doing ourselves a disservice? My guest today thinks so. He's the author of a new book called You're Not That Great, but neither is anyone else. For a decade now, Elan Gale has been a producer on reality shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and Bachelor in Paradise, so he's better acquainted than most with that special category of American who thinks they deserve to be a celebrity despite a lack of any discernible talent. And he's gained over 6 million followers for his various Instagram accounts like Unspirational and Tinder Nightmares, which mock our whole entitled feel good, I'm a special snowflake and everyone should care about what I have to say culture. On today's show, he says the self-help industrial complex is doing you no favors by lying to you, and that's why he decided to write the first anti-self-help book. According to Elon, if you just want to be happy, you're an idiot. And he lists some of the emotions that he says are way more important to him. He tackles some of the most popular and meaningless inspirational phrases, explaining why only narcissists believe everything happens for a reason, and why living without regrets is a recipe for complacency. He says if you want to improve your life, don't be your own cheerleader, be your own critic, and get to know your new best friends, shame, anxiety, and desperation. Plus, why Trump never learns anything, the best question to ask in an interview, and the stupidest hashtags on Instagram. Coming up with Elan Gale in just a moment. The quote from Elon Gale's bio. My guest today is a strange person and the executive producer of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, and several live shows. In his spare time, he is a social media provocateur who has amassed over 6 million social media followers between his various humorous accounts. He is small in stature, physically weak, and an alcoholic, but he has still managed to make himself a presence in the world. His antics have led him to be featured in the New York Times, Us Weekly, Huffington Post, People Magazine, and The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and countless other publications and blogs. He has already previously published 2 books, Texts from Your Ex and Tinder Nightmares, as well as his latest book, You're Not That Great, But Neither Is Anyone Else. He currently lives in Los Angeles and hates traffic. Elon Gale, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You say that this book, You're Not So Great, is not a self-help book. So what is it?
It is a, well, it's a self-improvement book. It's okay. I think it actually is a self-help book. And but that only applies if, in fact, you believe that all other self-help books have been harming you this whole time. And I really think that's the case. I think that self-help for the last, 15 years or so has been dealing in making people feel better about mm-hmm. their present state or delude themselves about their present state rather than actually improving themselves. So I think self-help is a misnomer, and one day we'll all work together to fix that.
In addition to being the producer of The Bachelor, you have millions of followers for your funny Instagram accounts like Unspirational, which posts these anti-inspirational quotes, I guess I would call it. Was this book kind of the natural progression of Unspirational?
Absolutely. I get so fed up watching people tell me and tell others to feel good and that everything's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really the internet and the way that people have glommed onto inspirational quotes. It's not reflected back in the world. The world is not going well. Things don't work out. Everything is falling apart. Always. It's not new. Everything always goes badly. Things always end poorly. Almost everything fails. Some things succeed. That's wonderful. But I at some point, I just got so tired of it. I felt like I needed to scream. And Unspirational began that. And then I was walking through every airport looking at these books on the shelves that just say, you're amazing. You're wonderful. Yeah. Be happy about where you are. And then I look at the people around me and my friends and my family, and like, they shouldn't be feeling that. I don't feel that way. I'm not happy about what my life is. I'm constantly in endless anxiety. I was freaking out for 20 minutes trying to find the parking spot to come talk to you. Like, everything is pain.
How would you sum up the basic philosophy of this sort of polemic that you wrote here?
So I think it's really simple. I think that everyone has flaws. Everyone has problems. And the key to living the life you want is to do your best to address those flaws and fix those problems. I think that other people will tell you to feel good about who you are. I think you shouldn't feel good about who you are. I think you should fix who you are. Constantly, ever evolving. You're not a finished product. You are constantly a work in progress. There is so much to learn. And when you tell yourself that you're great, you stop trying. It's not motivating. Feeling good about yourself is not motivating.
Well, then I have to say there's a certain degree of irony to this that you're probably aware of, considering that you're the producer of The Bachelor. I mean, what does The Bachelor teach us? That happily ever after and fairy tales aren't just a lie, that I'm such a special snowflake that everyone should compete for my affection, or I deserve a rose. Isn't that the antithesis of what you talk about in this book?
Well, kind of, right? There's a bunch of women and a bunch of men going after a bachelor or bachelorette. The vast majority of them do not get what they want.
Right.
So that's the reality of life, is that almost everyone doesn't get the thing they're striving for. One person does. That's great. And if you do, you're lucky. That's awesome. But as a human being, as an individual, you're probably going to fail in all of your endeavors. So I think that's how I look at it. And also, I don't like myself that much. I think that's the other.
Really?
That's the irony. Like, I don't think of myself as some fucking brilliant author who's going to change the world. I think of myself as some schmuck who wrote a book that's hopefully helpful. And every minute, ever since it's been published, when someone writes to me and goes like, wow, this really spoke to me, it changes my life, I get 20 seconds of like, yeah. And then I go back to my natural state, which is like, what is wrong with me? Let me fix it.
Well, yeah, you take exception with the idea that we should aspire to be happy. And to quote from the book, you say, if you want to be happy, you're an idiot.
Well, yes.
What's wrong with being happy?
Nothing's wrong with being happy.
Okay.
It's just not a good goal.
Okay.
Emotions are not
as
good goals.
Game.
Exactly. Huh. Emotions are reactions to states. So you should perform actions that might make you happy if that's your chosen emotion. But to like prefer one emotion over all others to me is inhuman. Like whether you believe in evolution, which is the actual thing, or if you believe in something else like creationism, which is fine, we're programmed, we're designed to feel an unbelievable slew, an array of emotions. And yet for some reason in this time in history, we've chosen that only one matters and only one counts and everything should be done to the benefit of that. But like how about grieving? How about sadness? How about desperation? How about jealousy? How about rage? How about lust? And then also how about joy and happiness?
Mm-hmm.
But to choose one tiny sliver of the human experience, like our ancestors weren't happy.
Yeah.
Our ancestors
were miserable.
They were not happy.
Yeah.
They were trying to survive. It was freezing.
Yeah,
they were cold. They weren't happy. They were cold. And if they tried really hard, they didn't go, I'd like to be happy. They went, I'd like to be warm. And then they'd work towards being warm with actions and then have a moment of happiness. Like it's just crazy to me that we're so focused on one tiny element of life.
Yeah. What are the emotions that most drive you?
Rage. Oh, man.
Rage.
Yeah, like nothing. Like right now I'm feeling like I bet you can hear it in my voice. Like I hope it's not towards me. It's definitely not towards you, but it is towards this world that is telling people mm-hmm. that if they're not happy, that they're doing something wrong or that something's wrong with them. And if you're not happy, that's okay. That's being a human being. And it's harmful to make people feel like they're less than because they're not feeling the emotions that you feel are appropriate for them. You know those people that have social media and their smile is the same in every single photo, and you mm-hmm. start to realize that it's not really a smile. It's a mask. That scares me, man.
Yeah.
It scares me to not be a person.
Yeah,
we all need to try so hard to be people. But rage, desperation,
mm-hmm.
Self-loathing is like my number one. I love looking at myself in the mirror and just hating it.
Yeah.
And I do every day to this day. Yeah. I haven't told anybody this publicly ever in my life, but I'll tell you because I feel if you want to hear it. I have like a little thing I say to myself after I eat a meal that I know I shouldn't have eaten.
Yeah.
I kind of grab my stomach fat and I'm doing it in the studio now. I kind of jiggle it and I say, fatty, fatty pig fuck. And that's, I bet you never thought you'd hear those four words on your show.
Okay.
But that's what I say to myself.
What does that do for you?
It reminds me that fatty, fatty pig fuck needs to go work out. And that's the guy who I'm Elon, fatty, fatty pig fuck goes to the gym.
Well, you know, I often hear people say that the key to happiness is to be content with who you are and to keep your expectations low. In fact, in Denmark, the happiest country in the world, they did a survey where everyone said that basically the key to happiness is not to expect very much. What would you say to the Danes?
Well, interestingly, I've spent quite a bit of time in Denmark.
Oh, yeah?
And I know a lot of people there. And the truth is that they are very happy. They're not wrong. They just have a different culture.
Okay.
That culture doesn't have the kind of the American zeal for success. It has a really great worldview, honestly. When I go to Denmark, I'm amazed. And it's really a beautiful society. And they found a way to be happy with who they are and what they are and kind of their lot in life. And to be honest, I admire that. But we don't have that here.
Okay.
We don't have a country that says stick to your station and enjoy it. We have a country that says you can be anything you want to be. And the world does take all kinds. That's why Denmark is my favorite country to visit, even though I don't hold the same ideals as they seem to.
But then why not just move to Denmark and be lazy and happy?
Because I'm not wired that way. I mean,
you're not. Okay.
I got to tell you something. Moving to Denmark, going to Copenhagen is a dream. Like if I could do that. But I have this fire in me, and you probably do too, which is why you do what you do, which is to ascend. Mm-hmm. And it's not natural, and it's not even that great. But it's a drive, and it's a desire to constantly try to improve, and I can't turn it off. If I could, I would. But I can't, so I have to fight it.
Okay. Now, you take on some of these inspirational aphorisms that have been ingrained in our culture, and especially social media. You know a lot about that through your millions of followers on Instagram and through Unspirational and Tinder Nightmares. What are some of the feel-good platitudes that you just hate the most?
I mean, I think that there is probably no more damaging a sentence culturally in America than everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
I think the repackaging of fate as this kind of spiritual, non-religious construct is the end of all meaningful conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, the minute someone says that, you can just stop talking to them, because why continue? Like, if everything happens for a reason, then me ceasing a discussion is also ordained. Like, yeah. it's a very strange thing that people, especially here in our country, where, again, we feel this personal ability to alter the course of our lives are also so attached to the idea that there is some predestination.
Yeah.
Which one is it? If you really believe everything happens for a reason, good on you. But then don't try to tell me about your choices, because your choices are irrelevant.
Yeah. What do you think is the psychology behind that?
I think people need comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure people need comfort. I think people crave comfort. Rather than say life is unfair, there is no justice, and pain is inevitable. Because those aren't good on mugs. You know what I mean? Like, no one takes a mug to work that says pain is inevitable, death is coming for you. But those are also realities. And
so
people, I think, used to hang on their religion much more and say that, you know, like, the afterlife will bring me peace, which is great if that's what you believe.
So this is the progression.
This is the I'm spiritual but not religious version of heaven and hell.
Yeah, I mean, randomness is scary.
Of course, for sure. Being alive is terrifying. We have no idea what's going on. You and I have no clue what's happening. I mean, like, look, we don't know why things happen. We don't know what our bodies are doing right now. We accept that we'll breathe autonomously, but we don't really know why or how.
If I tried to find some deeper meaning every time I stubbed my toe or a barista screwed up my order, I mean, I would lose my mind. I would go completely insane.
Yeah.
It seems like a recipe for madness.
And I think that's the thing, is that people apply – when you apply these kind of aphorisms selectively, it totally works.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it totally works when someone dies and you go, everything happens for a reason. But I take such issue with that because – The death of a person is not a lesson for you to be learned.
Yeah, I mean, there's something incredibly narcissistic about this idea that someone else's misfortune, you know, happened entirely for my benefit.
Right. No, it's true. And I remember I wrote in the book about Harambe, which is a wonderful gorilla, and
a wonderful gorilla
who
passed
away.
Do you want to explain that?
Well, Harambe was a gorilla, I believe. And he lived in Cincinnati, and he a child slipped into his enclosure. This is about a year and a half ago now, maybe 2 years, and dragged a child. He was dragging the child around.
Right.
And some people believed that the gorilla was going to kill the child. Mm-hmm. And some people believed the gorilla was trying to protect the child, because people were screaming, and, you know, gorillas don't speak English very well, so they couldn't tell they were trying to save the child. Anyway, so, like, a lot of people believe that this was a really important moment in history, because it showed about, like, the dangers that animals face in captivity when the zoo officials shot Harambe. And other people were like, this happened because we need to learn about how to, like, better enclose them so children can be safe. And the truth
is, it didn't happen just because it's a gorilla.
It didn't happen for any reason. It's a fucking mistake.
It's an animal.
Things happen in life. That's the thing. People are so uncomfortable with things just happening.
Yeah.
They want everything to have purpose and reason.
Yeah, that's
true. Things happen. When that guy makes a left turn and T-bones you, that didn't happen for a reason.
Yeah.
It's easy to go, like, well, if I hadn't hit me, I would have run off a cliff. Okay.
We may as well run off a cliff right now. Then.
Yeah.
That's going to be your life philosophy.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell people, because they're I know that they're trying their best. I know that it's not malicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's ingrained in them, and it's been smashed into their heads. And I'm a little pessimistic, let's say.
Really?
Let's say that.
you think so.
Let's say that I'm on the opposite edge of the spectrum of the secret and the you are a badasses. And I don't necessarily believe that everything I say should be taken literally.
Okay.
But somewhere in the middle, somewhere between like dumb positivity and aggressive negativity, there is life. And like everything else, it requires balance. And I'm just trying to provide a little bit of darkness because the world is full of bullshit light.
Do you think of yourself as a curmudgeon?
Yeah,
I'm sure you get accused all the time.
I think that's a totally, I think that's a real fair assessment. I'm stubborn and I'm argumentative and I don't enjoy that many things. But you know what? The things I enjoy them with such passion because my passion is not wasted.
Okay.
I don't get excited about little things, but I get really excited about big things.
Okay.
And I think that balances out for me.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. I want to talk to you about some of these other feel-good tropes that you rip apart in the book. I love that you call out people who say, I have no regrets, or I live without regrets. It's such a dumb thing to say because, I mean, the only people who genuinely live without regrets are sociopaths,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I have to finish vomiting and then I can respond. But yeah. The idea of living without regrets is living without having learned anything.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will say that regret is useless. I think regret is maybe the most kind of like powerful life guide you can have.
Well, it's the only way to learn from your mistakes. If you regret nothing, then you're never going to look back and try to figure out what you did wrong.
Right. And if you're told that your regrets are meaningless, then you get over the pain faster.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that the pain is the important part of the regret. You really have to feel it. You can't just go like, well, I made a bad choice and I won't do it again. When you make a bad choice, it is important that you really feel the pain of that bad choice because otherwise you're not going to learn your lesson.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with Mr. Sunshine himself, Elon Gale, when we come back in just a minute. Support for today's show comes from Squarespace. Ready to start your new business? Make it stand out with Squarespace. Maybe you're revving up to launch a new company or spending the weekends working on a passion project. Well, these days, web presence is everything, and having a stylish, professional website is essential. Folks, I see it all the time. People put their hours and dollars into a new business, and they treat the website as an afterthought. That should be the first thing you do. With beautiful templates created by world-class designers, Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a new and unique website. Showcase your work, blog or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. You can customize everything from look and feel to settings and products, and it's all optimized for mobile right out of the box. Use Squarespace's analytics to help you grow in real time. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Though if you do have a question, Squarespace's award-winning 24/7 customer support is there to help. Destiny is calling. It says you need a website. Make it with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code KICK to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code KICK. For over 30 years, men have trusted Just for Men to provide easy gray care solutions. Now they can trust Just for Men to provide a hair regrowth solution as well. Formulated with the number one dermatologist recommended ingredient proven to regrow hair, 5% minoxidil, hair regrowth from Just for Men is an easy-to-use topical solution that's clinically proven to help regrow hair. It works by reactivating hair follicles to stimulate regrowth, perfect for men with thinning hair. Plus, with a unique precision spray applicator, this is hair regrowth made easy. Simply spray on, sit back, and move on. Because when you look as good as you feel on the inside, every date night, every meeting, every guy's night out becomes something to look forward to. Start winning over thinning. Look for 1 and 3 month supplies of hair regrowth in the shave aisle or visit hairregrowth.com and use promo code REGROWTH25 to get 25% off your purchase. That's hairregrowth.com and use promo code REGROWTH25 for 25% off. Today's episode is also sponsored by LinkedIn. A business is only as strong as its people, and every hire matters. So don't settle for posting and hoping the right person will find your role and apply. Be proactive. You know, I've been through the hiring process a few times, and I know what it's like. It's frustrating. You can waste a lot of time, and you end up picking from a very small pool of candidates who might meet your needs, or worse, a huge pool of unqualified candidates. But LinkedIn is more than the world's largest professional network. It's also a better way to find great talent. Think about it. How often do you check job boards? For most people, it's a pretty occasional thing, but there's a place where people go daily to grow professionally, LinkedIn. 70% of the U.S. workforce is already on LinkedIn, and 22 million professionals view and apply to jobs on LinkedIn every week in every industry. Just ask any of the hundreds of thousands of businesses who have posted to LinkedIn Jobs over the past year. They rate LinkedIn Jobs 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. Because LinkedIn considers skills, experience, location, and more to match and promote your job to potential candidates. If you're not using LinkedIn for your hiring needs, you're missing out. Go to linkedin.com/kickass to get a $50 credit toward your first job post. That's linkedin.com/kickass for your $50 credit today. Terms and conditions apply. And now, back to the podcast. You even suggest that readers should actually call up their ex or exes and ask them what their flaws are. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have many times. Oh, yeah, many times.
How do they respond when they get that call?
Well,
do they think you're dying
or
something?
It really depends. I've had an ex-girlfriend or two tell me they just don't want to talk to me, which is totally fine. I've had a couple. I stay in touch with a lot of my exes. I've had a couple actually be interested in giving me feedback. I found some of that feedback to be valuable. Okay. Like, I've had people tell me, like, you know, I feel like you are on your phone too much. I feel like you're too invested in strangers and you spend too much time kind of like dealing with things outside of like our relationship. I've gotten all kinds of feedback. It's helpful. Or they just go like, yeah, you're not that funny, which isn't helpful, but it does tell me that I need to be with someone who appreciates my particular sense of humor.
Okay.
For example, like all of that stuff is actually, and by the way, when someone says, I don't want to talk to you, that's also constructive feedback. And it tells you you should really take a minute and think back to how you handled that relationship or the breakup or the time since or whatever you've done and actually put time into figuring out what's wrong with you.
Okay. But what if what's wrong with you is just that you picked the wrong women?
You picked
the wrong kind of person.
Then that's definitely something to think about and not just go like, well, I make mistakes. Go like, okay, so what are the binding attributes? Yeah. What are the things these people have in common? Why am I picking people that don't like
me?
Yeah. Is it my own insecurity that's causing me to find someone who mirrors those same things? Like, I can tell you as an insecure guy for many years, and I used to be much worse than I am now, I would never trust somebody who saw me as good because I questioned their judgment. Really? So like if I think I'm like gross and weird looking and, you know, like not kind and then someone goes like, you're amazing. I think they're dumb.
Yeah. I was just going to say, did you lose respect for them?
Immediately. Of course, because I consider myself a solid 7. And if somebody considers me a 9 or above, I think that they're making a tragic error. So what other errors are they making in their lives? Now I'm in a relationship. I've been in one for over 2 years. And I would say my girlfriend considers me probably a high 8, maybe a low 9. But also it's a result of me actively trying to improve myself as a human being. And I'm still not perfect, and I still see myself in the 7s. But the effort allows me to consider that she may be right. Mm-hmm. Also, her flaws in her ability to see my weaknesses work to my benefit in this case.
Okay. You know, there's another saying that's practically gospel in LA, which is fake it till you make it. Now, you've been in the entertainment industry for a while now. When you were coming up in the business, did you ever fudge your resume or didn't you act the part to get ahead?
So I never fudged the resume, but I did totally fake it till I didn't make it. I really did. Like, I was this... When I was, you know, 20, 21, I really wanted to be a producer and a writer and like some kind of like shot calling, whatever D-bag kind of thing I could try to be. And man, I dressed the part. I looked the part. I dressed the part. I walked around. I had the car. I had the briefcase. Yeah. Who the fuck has a briefcase? I had a metal briefcase. I did all the things. I talked like it. I had the trappings of. I had the Bluetooth before it was a thing. Like,
yeah.
And you know what it got me?
But everyone
it
else
got
does.
Me nowhere. Yeah. It was so ineffective because people aren't dumb. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. People really aren't stupid, which is also why it's so frustrating when they fall for dumb shit. Because people are smart and people are kind of like elegant in their thought processes. Mm-hmm. No one buys it when you fake it. I didn't start doing well in my career remotely until I started acting like myself. Mm-hmm. Because people get uncomfortable around uncomfortable people.
Yeah, that's true. It's almost like a micro thing that people pick up on subconsciously.
Yeah. You don't know why, yeah. But like, you know, when you're on a date with someone, mm-hmm. a first date, and they're acting a certain way and you can tell they're uncomfortable, you may not even know why, but there's this weird repellent quality to that. Mm. And it applies to everything. It applies to jobs. It applies to friendships. Like, people don't like being around people that yeah. seem uncomfortable or skittish.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so you just have
sure.
to, you have to try to be, and when someone walks in with a fudged resume or a, you know, or trying to be someone they're not, you smell it yeah. and you wonder why. And the truth is that why bother faking it when you can relatively easily change yourself?
Yeah, and the one good thing that you do give yourself credit for is that you have a pretty good nose for bullshit. And you say that the most important question that you like to ask people in an interview is, what is your worst quality? Why is that so revealing?
Because we all have terrible qualities.
Yeah.
We all do.
Sure.
And if someone is willing to be honest about it rather than spin it towards the positive, I have just a better sense that they're going to be the kind of person I can trust.
Yeah.
The kind of person I can rely on. You know what I mean?
Like,
but you know, working too hard is not a bad quality. It's just not. Working too hard is a good quality. And I don't know why people say it's bad. Like, caring too much is not a bad quality. Like, these are crazy things people say.
Much.
Like, I care too much. No, you never care too much. You should always care yeah. with all of your heart about everything you do. But if somebody says, like,
but
I don't know.
Also, like, that's like spinning a good quality as a phony bad quality, isn't
it? That's what everyone does. They're yeah. trained for some mm-hmm. reason to talk like that.
Yeah.
And I think the truth is that, like, when I used to be single on first dates, I would tell people what was wrong with me.
Really?
Yes.
Like what? What would you say?
Oh, well, first of all, most of my life, I was overweight. So I'd say, like, I'm in really bad shape. And they would always say, no, you look great. And I go, no, you don't understand. I am technically obese and I am in bad shape. So I'm uncomfortable with my body. And so, like, physically, like, I'm going to be uncomfortable with you touching me at first. Like, you should know that about me. And so on and so forth. Like, those are real things I said to people. I was honest about it. I would say that I'm really jealous. I am. I'm a jealous guy. It doesn't overwhelm me. But I get jealous, especially early on in relationships when I don't know what's – I'm overly communicative. Like, if you like someone who talks to you like five – you know, like every 5 days, like, that's not me. Like, I'm obsessive about everything in my life. And I would tell people this, and if somebody found it endearing, we could have a conversation.
Okay.
And if somebody didn't, they had a good story to tell their friends. I met some weird asshole who told me how obese I was the whole time. Fine.
As the creator of Tinder Nightmares, I have to wonder then, what did you put on your Tinder profile when you were on there?
Oh, man, that is such a good question. I think I always used to say I'm very indoorsy. That was always my that was always kind of my go-to.
You hate hikes.
Yeah, which is actually funny because I love being outdoors.
Yeah.
But I consider myself indoorsy because I'm, like, not a sportsman. I don't look rugged.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, take me bouldering and, like, I've never been camping. Like, I'll go hiking, but as the sun's coming down, I'm going indoors. I don't
–
have you ever gone camping?
Not since childhood, and there's a reason.
So, why not?
We've evolved from that. We're not cavemen anymore. We don't have to live out in the open.
Right.
Endure all this misery.
That's
we can
how
have a roof
I feel.
Over our head. It
yeah.
almost seems ungrateful to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to sleep outdoors,
you're not doing well.
That's not great.
Yeah. And you have a number of successful people who weigh in on how negativity actually helped them get ahead. One of these people is a past guest of the show, comedian Eliza Schlesinger. Talk about her experience. How did she use negativity?
Oh, man. So she is Eliza is perfect for this book. Eliza's mm-hmm. been a good friend for a long time, and I've always really admired her as a comedian. And I've watched her so many times live. And the truth about Eliza is that she can base an entire 20-minute staccato rapid-fire act around one thing she doesn't like. Mm-hmm. Around, she doesn't talk about things she likes in my experience with her comedy. Like, I remember she did a bit where she was like, she kept hearing these people talk about being mermaids and and I then saw her do like 25 minutes straight one night. This is before her special came out, of just like how fucking dumb it is to want to be a mermaid with no reproductive organs as a female or as a male.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And that's her thing. Like, I've seen her backstage before just get fired up about something, go on stage, lose her lose where she was going and just rant. And it's great. It's always so great because comedians, and I think most artists, don't get their motivation from contentment.
Right.
Like, no one goes like, oh man, I was just really, I don't listen to much Bon Iver these days, but like, he didn't go like, yeah, I was feeling great about myself and life was good, so I went to a cabin and wrote that album. It was like my life was horror and I needed to escape. I think everybody uses these kind of like negative emotions. And as I interviewed Eliza and everyone else in the book, there was almost no one who said like, no, yeah, I like doing it. No, there's like John Ronson, who's one of my favorite authors, said it best. I think he said like, I do it to quiet the screams of agony.
Yeah, no comedian, goes off for 15 minutes on something they love.
Right.
I mean, maybe if you're Jim Gaffigan, you talk for 15 minutes about, your love of donuts or something, but it's rare.
It's just not that interesting.
Yeah.
It's just, do you want to go to a club and see someone going like, I'm doing quite well. My career is going splendidly. My relationship is pleasant. My family is together and I face no obstacles. So how's your day? Like, that sounds horrible.
You have a trifecta of negative feelings that you say are your keys to success. They are shame, desperation, and anxiety. I want to take these one by one.
Yeah. Sad, first, as I call them.
Yeah. First, shame. You have a great anecdote from when you were shooting The Bachelor on the beach for a whole summer and you were out of shape, and instead of hiding it like you usually would, you decided to just go shirtless the whole time and completely humiliate yourself. How did that motivate you to change your life?
Well, that's the thing, is that I think a lot of the shame that we feel is internal. Mm-hmm. Like, when I took off my shirt there or anywhere and jogged on the beach, I actually don't think anybody else cared. I don't think anybody even noticed. It's not so much about external sources of shame. Actually, I'm against external sources of shame. But internally, like, I didn't like the thing that I had become physically. And again, there's nothing wrong with being overweight. It's a choice in some ways. Not for everyone, but you're not required to look a certain way. Mm. I simply was uncomfortable in my skin and decided to lose weight. And so what I did was I took my own feelings about my body and I projected them into the brains of other people and looked back on myself. It wasn't so much that they were judging me, because quite frankly, no one gives a shit about you. No one's looking at you that much and goes,
that's
like,
so
that
true.
Guy doesn't look great. But I was able to take my own sense of shame and project it at myself from the unknowing lenses of others. And that made me run. That really made me get up and get my ass together and start running. And to this day, I use it every single day. I look at an image or a mental image of somebody who has the body that I would like to have, and then I look at my body. And if I don't feel like they're equal to me in my personal aesthetic, I change to shift my body.
Well, the second one is anxiety. In that part, you say that you once asked your boss how much time you should spend working versus relaxing, and he had an interesting piece of advice for you. What did he say?
He said, you don't take a vacation until you have $100,000 in cash. And that is a long time, if ever, for any human being. And I don't even think it's literal. I think the idea is, if your desire is to have a long and fulfilling and interesting career, you work until you get it. Mm-hmm. You just keep working. And relaxing isn't really going to help you, because anytime you're going after a job or really anything you want, there's competition. Mm-hmm. There's other people running the same race. And you can take a vacation and you can relax. You're entitled to that. But other people won't. Yeah. So if you really want something, you got to go after it 24 hours a day.
Yeah. And the third one is desperation. I mean, there's no question that sometimes the biggest triumphs are born out of desperation, and nothing motivates a person like being backed into a corner. In fact, you suggest that people should see hitting rock bottom as their friend. What was your personal rock bottom, and how did that help you turn things around?
So I was and am an alcoholic. I was an unbelievably heavy drinker, and like not in like a fun way. Four bottles of wine a night at home by myself, for sure. Every day. Wow. And it was a lot. And it like it wasn't fun and gimmicky. It was really pathetic and kind of sad, just in the caloric intake. But on top of that, I was not living. I was not present. And then one day, after being warned by a doctor I met randomly at a party that I was kind of on a road to destruction, I noticed that the side of my body had turned kind of highlighter yellow.
Of your body?
Yeah, right where the liver is on the right side.
Oh, huh.
And this was, I was told, indicative of liver failure or of pending liver failure and of really things not going so good, more or less. And it wasn't, you know, I'd known that I've been drinking problematically for years, but it wasn't until I was faced with the very real possibility of imminent death that I was willing to make a very difficult change. So desperation, rock bottom for me, was the thing that enabled me to make the choice that has enabled all of my choices as a human being. And so, yeah, rock bottom's not fun, man. It's terrible. It is depressing. But it's an opportunity. Wow. If I didn't have that moment, I would definitely be dead. There's no question in my mind. Huh. And if I didn't have that moment, you know, then, and by the way, I still don't think that happened for a reason. Because I don't think that my life is,
even though you turned your life around, you don't think that that happened, progression led you there.
No, it was random. And I'm lucky.
I mean, it was random, but it was based off of your own decisions.
Well, for sure. Yeah. But like the fact that I happened to see it that day, I didn't like look at my body
interesting.
It's all random. Okay. The fact that I happened to have time that morning to be reflective rather than having to go to work. The fact that I was in a place mentally to quit drinking, something I'd been doing since I was pretty much 13 nonstop, like that, you know, that was random. I'm happy for it.
Well, then I hesitate to say that what I'm about to say happened for a reason, but you talk about how your father, when you were a kid, didn't believe in you when you wanted to go into entertainment. And based on that, you tell parents in this book, rather than encouraging their children, they should tell their kids that they can't accomplish anything. How much flack have you gotten for that statement?
Very little.
Really?
Amazingly. And I'll tell you why. Because it's not so much that you should tell your kids they can't accomplish anything. It's that they can't accomplish everything. Not everyone's a good artist. Not everyone's a great athlete. Not everyone's a great orator.
Yeah.
People have different skills. And it's important to try to be honest with people that you love about what their capabilities are. Now, they can still prove you wrong, as I did, and as many people do. And sometimes, if you're honest with your assessment of someone, they will actually use that as fuel to continue on. But the converse is problematic, because when someone believes they can accomplish everything, their focus becomes spread out, and they lose the ability to really become excellent at anything, because life isn't about becoming good at everything. It's about becoming excellent at something you really, really love. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just being a husband or a mother or a father, you know, or a niece, like something that's important to you, being the best you can at it, to me, is the basis for life. And it really can be anything.
Well, you know, a lot of what you're talking about right now, you know, embracing the negativity, letting spite and revenge and this desire to show them all drive you. This all sounds a lot like Donald Trump. I mean, negativity is like rocket fuel to this guy. Do you see Trump as somehow an aspirational figure?
No, not at all. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, because I do understand where the comparison comes from. But there's one mild difference, but it's so important. And the difference is that Trump never thinks he's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. He doesn't think he's wrong. Yeah. And as a result, so he doesn't improve.
Learns.
There is no question in my mind that if Trump wanted to be, he could be a good president. I think he could be. I think he's not. And I think he won't be. But he could be if he could admit that he was wrong. Because if he could admit that he was wrong, even once, he could learn some shit. Yeah. And he's in a tough job. And there's shit to learn. Like Barack Obama and George Bush made a lot of mistakes and they changed course a ton. Yeah. And that's why both of them won't be remembered, in my opinion, as such magnificent stains on our democracy in the way that Trump will be, is because he refuses to acknowledge he's wrong about anything.
Yeah, and he's made his whole career over the years being this kind of, you know, self-help bullshitter that you talk about in this book.
I mean,
you know, Trump U and phony self-help real estate seminars and stuff like that, where he didn't give anyone any actual valuable information.
I was thinking about this on the drive home, drive here, and I remembered at this moment, for some reason it stuck in my mind, about driving down this beachfront in Uruguay a long time ago and seeing the shell of a Trump hotel.
Oh, really?
In Punta del Este. And it looked like garbage. And I remember thinking, like, man, just slap the name Trump on anything and someone will put money into it.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, how unfortunate that that is also now our country.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that that's what's so infuriating for me about Trump, is that he has an endless amount of power and refuses to learn how to wield it successfully.
Yeah. Well, before we go, as a famous misanthropic Instagram celebrity, what are some of the common hashtags that people use that just really completely drive you nuts?
Motivate.
Motivate?
Motivate. Who the fuck are you? Motivate?
Yeah.
I don't need your motivation, my friend. No, thank you.
How about hashtag blessed?
Hashtag blessed is almost turning meta. Like, it's dumb that I think people are no longer even taking it seriously. Like you're blessed because you have a good ocean view? No, you were raised near the water. It's not being blessed. That's being lucky.
Uh-huh.
Hashtag lucky. Hashtag too blessed to be stressed. It's, you know what it is? It's like, it's people subverting their luck into somehow meaning.
Yeah.
Luck and meaning are different.
Well, once again, the book is called You're Not That Great, But Neither Is Anyone Else. Elon Gale, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Elon Gale for coming on the podcast. Order his book, You're Not That Great, But Neither Is Anyone Else, on Amazon or Audible. And follow him on Twitter and Instagram at The Year of Elon. Today's episode was sponsored by Hair Regrowth from Just for Men. Hair Regrowth from Just for Men is an easy-to-use topical solution that's clinically proven to help regrow hair. Formulated with the number one dermatologist-recommended ingredient proven to regrow hair, 5% minoxidil, it works by reactivating hair follicles to stimulate regrowth. Perfect for men with thinning hair. Plus, with a unique precision spray applicator, this is hair regrowth made easy. Simply spray in, sit back, move on. Start winning over thinning. Look for hair regrowth in the shave aisle or visit hairregrowth.com and use promo code REGROWTH25 to get 25% off your purchase. Again, that's hairregrowth.com and promo code REGROWTH25 for 25% off. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on iTunes and leave us a review. You can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Kick-Ass News Pod. And as always, I welcome your comments, questions, and ideas at comments@kickassnews.com. I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.